The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyambi, Tatiyambi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sabaha Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning?
Hey. I just wanted to notice a nice thing that happened that is different from the past.
Something nice that happens different from the past.
So, the end of... I've lost track of dates, but a while ago. A week or so ago, there was a big sort of confluence of things, busy schedule, and then out-of-town visitor who came 2 days earlier than I thought, and a person I live with is ill, and so there's sort of more things to do, and so the two, I didn't do two of the email classes, and what was neat was I knew I would do them. Mm-hmm. You know, there was like no self-hate about it, there was no guilt about it. I knew I would do them, and then when the dam broke a little, I did them. And what's I'm finding so that feels so good about that is that in the past, mm-hmm. I would have felt bad about not doing them, mm-hmm. And then when it came time to do them, I would have been told, well, either quit because you're too far behind, or just don't bother with those classes, just do this one, and I would probably have done this one and then not the next two. And you know, it just felt like I was in such a different relationship mm-hmm. with coming at this particular task. Mm-hmm. And what I saw so clearly was that that the whole effect of feeling bad about not doing something is to keep me from doing it.
Yeah. That the whole effect of not doing something just makes you feel bad about not doing it. And you noticed how you had a different relationship with it than you had in the past. In the past, you would have gotten to the point where you've come out of whatever it is that you had to do, and then seeing that, oh, you're so far behind, you would have heard voices that would talk you out of doing any of those previous classes. But it sounds like this time around, you had no doubt, even through all of these things that had come up that were unexpected, mm-hmm. That you would actually do them.
Yeah, and then I did.
And you did.
Yeah, and I just was, I just saw the amount of energy that gets wasted in feeling bad, and then really got that the impact of feeling bad about not doing it is to keep me from not doing it, yeah. For it to keep me from doing it.
Yeah.
And so that was just all really useful to see.
Yeah. That the impact of not doing it was to keep you from doing it.
Exactly.
That all that energy was built up just to stop you.
Yeah, and to get me to feel bad.
And get you to feel bad, right. So the energy goes to feeling bad rather than doing what it is
exactly.
You could do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan.
I'm looking at irritability.
What is that, irritability?
Irritability.
Okay.
The opposite of cheerful. I love that word cheerful. You know, this part of me. I have it on my recording, you know. Uh-huh. But I look at it, I'm recording, so I have the thing of, well, I wish I was cheerful. Some part of me wishing I was cheerful, but I'm not cheerful. You know, then I'm
cheerful.
And the mentor comes in, well, you know, usually just reflects right now, but so I saw this thing as I came in, so I'm tired. I woke up tired because I can tell you why I think it is. I think it's because David was up for like 2 hours in the night waiting for the Easter Bunny. I'm like, go to sleep where the bunny won't come. It's like 3:30. Do you think it's come yet, Mom? I don't know. Yes, it has, but you can't go out there. You know. No, I feel bad. Oh, wait, I'm not sure if it has, you know, but stay a bit. You know, but anyway, so I woke up in this foul mood. But what I saw when I faced the wall was, so I'm not liking anything, but what I saw when I just let that be, just a second ago, that's my new thing, you know, let it be, and put all my attention on my breathing, I saw that there is this thing, the devil, that was doing that to me, wasn't liking how I was feeling. And that I was projecting that out on not liking that people are waking up in the night and that we're our schedule. You know, what I thought was going on. I got caught in the story. But what's going on is my schedule changed today. Instead of like going to church and going to, we came to here and now we have to go to this church service. And, you know, I'm believing that the story, that the content is what is making me feel irritable.
So you're looking at that. That's what the story is coming in, that it's the schedule that's changed. Usually it goes a particular way, and now
right.
It's not. And you're looking to see how that's coming in to be the reason why you're feeling the way you're
feeling. And I was believing it.
You were believing it.
Until I sat down and saw that there was something that just didn't like how I was feeling physically in my body. Mm-hmm. And it happened 2 days ago as well. And I saw again, you know, it was another... I think what it really was is I was just physically tired, and ego, karma, whatever it is.
The devil.
The devil. I really think it's the devil. It's just something, it's like something comes in, and without me knowing it, takes the sensation in my body, makes meaning out of it, projects it outward, creates a story, and I believe that it's because of the story.
Yes.
Completely missing that somebody jumped in and told me that it didn't like my... Listen, it jumped in, it didn't even tell me, jumped in and started having that irritability, creating that, about the sensations that were going on in my body.
Yeah, a whole lot of meaning layered on top of whatever sensations were coming in. So it means... So it was like saying that it was because of all this that you were feeling that way. And that's what it means.
And then it sort of said, well, it tried to make meaning out of, well, it's because you're tired. Now I've been tired a lot in my not life. I know it's because I'm tired. But the quality of the sensation in the body got judged.
The quality of the sensation in your body got judged and got labeled. And
yes.
There's the whole
and then I was told I didn't like it when it really was...
It didn't like it.
The devil didn't like it. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's such a relief in... letting it be, you know, that's just how, that is it. And everything around it. So it's not only that I felt like, you know, and then irritable, but then I was judging myself for that, you know, the whole thing. But just letting that whole system be, but bringing all of my attention back to the air.
Yeah, the air. What is it you're doing? Because it sounds, you said you were meditating when all this was happening.
Yeah, when I saw through it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was all happening. Oh, morning, Alex!
It was longer than that meditation.
The cheerful Easter Bunny this morning. Oh, that's nice! Show it to somebody else, you know? But it like unlocks, you know? It's just like a portal or something, like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong.
With any of it. Mm-hmm. Until I become it and believe there's something wrong.
Mm. So you become it that is projecting all these reasons
right.
why, and
yes.
is judgmental, and is saying that this is because you're feeling this way because of all these circumstances that are happening out there.
I think I become it. I don't know. I think I become it, and then my poor little sub-personalities start believing all the stories and doing what they do to try and make it better. Oh, just put a smile on your face or
you
kill yourself or something. Or cheerful is impossible. No, it's not. You know, duality starts. You know, it's just...
And you're just there. Breathe.
right? Okay, that's going on. I don't need to put my attention there. It can go on because it is going on.
Right.
Wishing it wasn't going on makes it go on tighter. Or makes it something,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's going on. Let's just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
just breathe, yeah.
You don't have to be cheerful. Don't have to be anything. Mm-hmm. Just focus right here. That's
right
all
here.
It is. And for me, you know me, it's a direct connection to God. Mm-hmm. The devil. But there's a freedom. It's a direct like line to relief, mm-hmm. to the refuge, to... Mm-hmm. Without doing anything but focusing.
Focusing.
The attention on the air going uh-huh. in and out of my body.
Focusing on the attention and the air going in and out of your body rather than...
And letting all of this happen. Letting mm-hmm. it... Yeah. So I'm so grateful because it's so hard to do on my own. It's so nice to have Sangha, a place to come, because there's the theory. But often in meditation at my home, you know, I'm like... Somebody's going to come in at any moment. Breathe. Focus. I can't focus. Yeah, so thanks.
Right.
A lot of that really kind of resonates with me. It comes up in terms of there's this Korean Zen master, I read a little pamphlet by ages ago. I think his name's Seyun Song or something like that. And he was talking about people coming into the, you know, to the meditation center, and they're, why do we do this? Why do we have to bow this way? Why do you know? And just saying, you come in, your don't liking mind starts up, okay, you know, and just having that name, don't liking mind.
Come up and don't liking mind.
Because that's all it does.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's definitely the sensations. You know, like oh, I feel this way, and it's. You know, all the layers of meaning and whatnot, it's just, it seems like, it's not even that it doesn't like that, it's just that that's kind of grist for the mill, mm-hmm. you know? I actually don't know what that metaphor means, I just realized, but... probably check those things before I start. You know, it's something to go into the machine, you know, that's the input and the output of suffering.
Yes, yeah, so the analogy, like, is the it don't liking mind comes up with whatever it comes up with so that it can get put through the machine so that it creates suffering.
Exactly. It doesn't actually care what's going on.
Right.
As long as it can look for something mm-hmm. to go, don't like that.
Don't like that.
And then let's
right.
give our attention. But now that we've decided that don't like that, uh-huh. let's put all of our attention right on that. Let's talk about how much we don't like it. And just, just having that experience is so fascinating to watch it come up and do its thing and to try to be in a place where it's like, okay, hello, don't like you mind. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen you in a few minutes. Seems you found something new, that's good.
Always nice to have a hobby.
Yeah, it's nice to try new things. And just... trying to have that relationship with it of, okay, there you are,
mm-hmm.
that's okay,
mm-hmm.
That's what you do.
That's what you
so,
do.
So, you know, there's no sense in me being upset at you for doing what you do.
Right, you do what you do because that's what you do.
And I'm going to try to have the discipline to do what I do,
mm-hmm.
which is just kind of be right here.
Mm-hmm. So each of you going about doing what you do, not needed to fall for the grist for the mill.
Yeah, we don't need to have much of an inner relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of both cohabiting
mm-hmm.
and doing the things that we do.
Right. Yeah, cohabiting, just doing the things that you do. Thank you. Amy.
Well, I was reading with this talk about earlier about the email class, and I too have gotten behind on the email class and have and that would have been in the past a reason to just throw in the towel, forget the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Like it's too late, I'm too far behind. And that's not the experience that I'm having. The experience that I'm having is that I'm committed to seeing that emo class through to the end, no matter how long it takes and what time frame it happens in.
But you're committed to see it through to the end, no matter how long it takes.
Mm-hmm. And so last night I set up a parameter of how long I was going to spend reading responses and how long I was going to spend working on the next class that I'm on. And it felt good to stick with that and not feel like I had to do more than that because I'm still behind.
Right, yeah, not to get to the end of it. It's like, ooh, there's just much more. But actually, just can keep your commitments throughout the whole thing. You're committed to seeing the email class due to the end, no matter how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Setting up parameters for when you actually have time to do it,
mm-hmm.
about what you're going to spend on reading it, what you're going to spend on responses,
mm-hmm.
and how tempting it would be to spend a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
because there's evaluation going on about how much more there is yet to do.
And it feels good that I trust that I am going to complete it.
Yeah.
And so that takes away the I'm not sure what it takes away.
It takes away something.
the ammunition that can just
yes.
use this against me.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that you don't have to fear that you're not going to actually do this because you're committed to do this and you're trusting that you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like before, you would have thrown in the towel. You've seen how far you've gotten far behind,
mm-hmm.
to quit. And this time around, you're committed to seeing it through to the end, and
mm-hmm.
you can trust that whatever is going to be necessary to do that, you're
mm-hmm.
going to do that, and
because
you're keeping your commitments as you're going along through it all.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that was shared this morning that I was just really appreciating was that taking refuge in the breath,
mm-hmm.
and I've been using that a lot lately, and seeing how I will be with the breath, and then just like it does not take very long for the details of tomorrow to start. I've got this track, this and this, or worry about this and this, and just over and over again, just keep coming back. No, that's not what I'm doing.
That's right. Yeah, this is not what you're doing right now. You're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be watching how this particular conditioning comes in about you need to worry about this, you need to track these details. It's almost like the don't liking mind. It's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, there's no liking mind coming in, and there's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you both coexist and do what you do.
Mm-hmm. And that's helpful when I have the intention that I'm just going to be here. And then that comes in to see that that's not coming from me, that's being introduced to me, these things to worry about, or this,
That's such as I was pictured introducing them to you. It's like, here, there's something for you to worry about. Welcome.
Sometimes I accept them.
Exactly, your mind going over worrying about stuff, mm-hmm. and tracking all this is not actually getting those things taken care of,
yes.
that are going to have to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
That you're back to trust again. You're
mm-hmm.
trusting that coming back to the breath and being here is going to assist you,
mm-hmm.
and take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Michael.
I think I have an antidote to don't liking mind. And what it is to actually, at first it was to write a tweet 3 times a day,
mm-hmm.
and then it was what I'm seeing is to become a tweet, to be a tweet, to live in a tweet, and
I can see that.
So we've been asked to write a tweet before every meal to contribute, and doing that has, I think, I have trouble reading the tweets and doing the tweets. So now I'm not only reading tweets, I'm writing tweets, and oftentimes it's like a tweet could be it's a message about practice, like, mm-hmm. you know, stop, drop, and breathe, you know, mm-hmm. like, could be a tweet. And So a lot of times I'm in what's it called? Don't liking mind. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
When it's time to write that tweet, mm-hmm. and I've been asked to write a tweet. So, okay. and then I come up with something, and then I'll actually do it. Take the suggestion of the tweet. And then I'm no longer in don't liking mind, mm-hmm. and sometimes I like them so much that I take them on through the day, uh-huh. and so that's the thing of living in the tweet, and it's really, I think it's, I was thinking of that, you know, what don't liking mind is, take something. I thought of a metaphor for what it does, being so it's an ant. Crawling in a big, beautiful, blossoming rose, and stopping at a little black speck and going, look, a blemish, a blemish, a blemish. And just repeating that over and over, just staying right there, look, a blemish, look, a blemish. And it's in this rose, and it's aware that it's in a rose, but it's choosing to focus its attention on this blemish and criticize it. And hates the rose because of the blemish. And so that's, I'm going around in that, and then okay, I need to write a tweet. And so I have to turn away from the blemish. Uh-huh. And
the
really
tweet's not gonna come from the blemish.
Yeah. And I'm always walking in a rose. Uh-huh. So I describe some aspect of the rose, and the ant is really actually not so intelligent. If you can get the ant to look at the rose, it loves the rose too, you know, but that's me. Uh-huh. So it's been really that's been a helpful practice to me, and mm-hmm. kind of an antidote to just drag me away from that uh-huh. blemish and mm-hmm. my God, I live in a rose. It's really been an amazing practice that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm.
To notice that you're living in a rose, mm-hmm. and that your attention is being drawn toward a blemish constantly within that rose, and mm-hmm. the requirement to write a tweet is the analogy to that. Like, you are being asked to do this, even though this don't liking mind is going on, even though your attention is focused on the blemish. You're required to focus on what is around you, which is the rose, which is the tweet.
Yeah, exactly. And because I can't be looking at the blemish and the rose at the same time. Mm-hmm. And of course the blemish, then I get to see that the blemish is part of the rose. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing actually wrong with the blemish. Mm-hmm. And I get to see that in different aspects. So I'm going around in this little thing, you know, and I drag my attention away from it, and then I see that this little thing, terrible thing, is actually, it's not terrible. There is nothing terrible. Uh-huh. There are no blemishes. Mm-hmm. So it's the difference between life is good and look.
Thank you. Jen.
I really resonate with the trust conversation. I've been looking at that a lot. Actually also with the email class, and pretty much just like people have said, So we just finished a retreat, and I was facilitating the retreat, so very little time outside of doing that. And I've committed to this email class, 110%. And it's so interesting that the commitment remains 110%.
Mm-hmm.
And there really actually isn't any conversation. There's an attempted conversation, actually, I should say, around where I am in the class. But, you know, actually, I just thought of this. I can't remember where it was. I'm doing this unbelievable project of, I have, like all of us, so many recordings, not just from the recording practice we've started, but I started a project yesterday, took on a huge project yesterday, which is really fun, but a piece of it is getting out all those cassette tapes. Remember those?
Vaguely.
Wow. And there are a lot of them. I mean, for those of us who were in practice before the digital thing came along, wow. So, and I'm digitizing all of them. And so I am getting to hear so much stuff that just, oh, it's so much fun to hear it all. So anyway, somewhere, and it might have been on a recent radio show, I don't know, Sherry was talking about commitment. And what I heard her saying was, you know, we can, at least for me, conditioning so wants to get stuck in, like, but did I actually do that thing?
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with that, because I'm 110% committed to the email class.
Right.
And that's it. And what conditioning wants to do is to focus on, but am I current?
Current, and which it's is not so, the same thing as the email class.
No, not the commitment. Mm-hmm. The irony is, I could be current and not 110% committed.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I want is the commitment. So it's like, it's, you know, it's being here in life with what's called for, with what's appropriate, which is part of why that I've talked about that checklist I have on a whiteboard that I do every evening. And it's just the things that are important to me, you know, the basic things that are important to me. And one of the things that I love about it is it just helps me to see the balance. Some days, like, I have this thing, so there's like a, you know, just three. It's either a plus, a dot, or a minus. But then there's a T for turbo.
T for turbo?
T for turbo. So like this last week, every night, practice, kind of, which means being with Sangha, got a turbo. Because I spent my entire day, every day, doing that.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is other things might have gotten a dot, where mm-hmm. they might normally get a plus.
Mm-hmm.
But it just helps me have that perspective of, it's not about the thing, mm-hmm. it's about the balance and the commitment and what life is calling me, where life calling me to put my energy at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fun to relax into, I'm 110% committed to the email class.
Mm-hmm.
And that, what that means is, just like someone said earlier, as soon as life creates an opening for that, I'm right there. And meanwhile, every day I'm doing whatever I can in the email class. And everything counts. Where normally, it's just like other people were saying, normally it's like the standard.
Yeah.
And if I can't meet that standard, well then forget it. I'm packing up my toys and I'm going home.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The standard is the thing that is being focused on. And if you're not meeting the standard, then it's just a signal to pack up your toys and move on.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a balance that you're watching with mm-hmm. the whiteboard is helping you see
mm-hmm.
that you're spending all this time and energy on practice
mm-hmm.
And it got a T, and there are other things that are getting dots right now where normally there'd be a plus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like that gives you a perspective to see, well, this is what I'm doing, and it doesn't
yeah.
change my commitment to
yeah.
the ego class.
For example, another one, a bunch of them that got dots this week was like not stretching, that sort of thing, but like physical cardio sort of body.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that does when I look at that today is, oh, okay, great. I'd like to give that focus this coming week
mm-hmm.
because that didn't get focused last week.
It didn't get focused last week, so now it's time to focus on this.
Yeah, it creates energy instead
mm-hmm.
of draining it away.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone was talking about on the retreat recently, that place we can get to of that commitment is something to be avoided at all costs because it equals self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is a way where commitment builds energy
mm-hmm.
instead of Yeah, because it's not about the thing. It's not about, well, see, all of last week I didn't get to focus on cardio. And then, you know, just quietly without even noticing, well, then forget it.
Right.
And then wait, a month later, what happened to that?
Wait a minute, I used to...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where instead, because commitment with conditioning is that it's equal to self-hate, essentially.
Yeah.
That if you do, if you commit to something, then it's going to equal self-hate because you won't follow through, you won't meet those standards.
Mm-hmm.
And in this method, it creates energy because you're able to see what it is that needs attention and energy right now in this moment,
mm-hmm.
and that builds it so that you can actually focus on it.
Yeah. I was seeing something earlier, too, as people were talking, that there's, it feels like there's something around the being, kind of the being begins to relax in seeing that I can actually be trusted. See if I can say it. So it's like one of my best year yet goals this year is around creating for Jen an unconditional safe place to live. And what's actually neat about that is that then I actually, I'm accomplishing something by putting attention there. And so it's like as that happens, I don't know how to explain it, but other than just that the being can relax and know that she doesn't actually have to scramble around to meet those standards.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, it's just like other people say, because she can relax into knowing, like, I don't have to be scared I'm going to stop the email class. I'm not going to stop the email class.
Right, because you're 110% committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a trust that's developed because of that. Because
yeah.
you know that you're committed to unconditionally loving Jen. And Jen, mm-hmm. part of that includes that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just feels like it really, it builds on itself. Then the it's like the being just comes out and is just who she is. And then... there's getting to know her better and falling in love more and more with that, and it just, yeah. And then wanting to really commit to what takes care of her, and it just kind of all builds on itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Melinda.
I'm just really been appreciating the morning. All of the things that are coming in, I'm reminded of the facilitator circle that we do when we're doing training, and one person starts an issue, and then the facilitator turns to the next person, and the next person does their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just fascinated watching that and watching what goes on internally as we move around the circle. But I was back at looking at Don't Liking Mind. Mm-hmm. I've got, I think Mercury was supposed to go out of retrograde. But it's going to take until I understand, until the 27th to actually for everything to kind of. And I have at least three things that feel like really major major invitations to Don't Liking Mind.
Mm.
And what's been happening is that it will register that this is something that it is has you know, could be described as really unpleasant or really a problem. And the takeover doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It stops there.
Yeah.
And I just, it's fascinating, and I attribute most of it to the recording practice. Because there'll be this thing there that in the past would have been, my world is falling apart, somebody's got to do something, a whole set
yeah.
of things like that.
It would just
that would grab me physically.
Yes.
And get me all riled up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are simply happening.
Those things are simply happening. That it's these triggers that would normally cause you to go into that are happening,
right.
and you're actually watching them as they're happening there.
Yeah, and there might even be the same conversation
mm-hmm.
as, you know, this I hate this. This is whatever. But again, it feels as I'm looking at it this morning as though the really remarkable thing is that it isn't grabbing my body. It's not moving in and taking over.
Mm-hmm.
in the way that it can.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly suspect it's because of the recording practice and, well, just all of the practice that we're doing.
Yeah.
And just very, very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you watch that. That's a distinction from what would normally happen in the past, which is that it would take over your body.
It would be really, really real.
It'd be really, really real. You needed to do something about it. It would be really urgent. Your world's falling apart.
Well, yes.
Instead, now you're just hearing all... You may be hearing the same things, but there isn't actually like a takeover.
Yeah, yeah. Really actually, as you said that, get really urgent. That actually did happen the other day, and I moved in for a while to that. This is urgent. Something has to happen. Mm-hmm. And then moved out of it again and got to see that had happened.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, it's been being able to watch don't liking mind rather than live in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to watch don't liking mind rather than live in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Therese.
I'm just so happy to be here. You know, there's this part of me, I'm just everything. So the how things are different from the past, I've been looking at that a lot because my commitment is to just to no self-hate. It's done. It's over. Like, yeah, we're done. Uh-huh. We did that for a long time. We're going to try the other side.
Right.
Like that everything is cheerful. I am. Uh-huh. I'm the Easter Bunny every day. And then I'm just hopping around. And it is a different... It does change everything, even though I know this is, you know, I know I'm totally on the other side of this duality, but it's like, I know that. And I think, okay, fine. We're just trying this for a while.
Right,
so
right,
no,
right.
You know, the email class doesn't happen. Who cares? I'm committed to it. It's going to happen at some point. It might not happen before April 30th or, you know, like when the class is supposed to be over.
Supposed to be over.
It's like, never over, you know, and... I don't know, so I've been just looking at this, like, totally consciously saying, I'm going to be in this other side to just see what it's like.
That's right, you're going to spend some time there. You've been in the self-hate side for a while.
Yeah, I've been over here in the self-hate for just really long time. And let's just see what it's like.
Yeah, if you don't like it over here.
Yeah, we can always leave, we can always go back, you know, it's great. And so I noticed how coming here today was like, all these voices wanted to come in. Oh, you've been here in so long. You didn't even tell them that you're coming. It's like you're intruding. I can't believe you didn't. Blah, 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 all this stuff. And it was like, oh, isn't that, that's really interesting. Okay, great. Thanks for that. And see you later. This is amazing. Uh-huh. It's, you know, and I don't know. There's just a lot of new way. I guess it's sort of shedding this thing and saying, look, this is new. Everything is new. I mean, this whole last year has been new. Every day is a new day in a whole new way. And I don't have a story around that because I don't know what to expect. You know, it's like life has come at me in a way now that I don't have a storyline around it, which is so fascinating. And I think that's the thing. I don't have a storyline around it. I can't.
Right, because it's new. It's happening all the time.
Yeah. He doesn't. How can I? He's just doing his thing, and it's like, oh, and taking my cue from that. Like, it's only suffering if I'm allowing it. You know, if I'm saying I'm suffering, I'm suffering.
Right. You're only suffering if you're allowing it.
Yeah, or, yeah, like, really getting it. Like, I'm only suffering right now if I'm telling myself I'm suffering. You know, and there's so much content that I could plug into that right now. That's just, you know,
right,
piled really high around sleep and all these things that he should do. And okay, well, he's not. So we could just suffer or we could just be right here and having a great time at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. You know, and I just. So I think there's part of me, I think I'm just talking about because there's this part that's coming and going, oh yeah, that's so not true.
What's not true?
That none of this is true.
That none of this is true.
See, this is just a story.
This is just a story. You being the Easter Bunny is just a story.
Exactly. I'm just, yeah. No more hopping for you. No more hopping around for you. Mm-hmm. Like all coming, you know. And I just, it's great to be able to be here and say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great to be here, to direct your attention to that gratitude.
Well, and because there's a storyline around what practice should look like. Mm-hmm. So practice should be doing the email class exactly when it comes into my inbox, mm-hmm. before and be in the first response group. You know, I mean, there's like all these standards around what it should be. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to respond. Huh. See how you feel about that. Mm-hmm. Because then it's like, oh, wait, why aren't you responding? Uh-huh. And it's, oh, now you want me to respond. Oh, well, that's good for you. You know, because it just, I get it. Like in that place, nothing, there is a no win.
There's no win in that place.
Whereas if it's just, okay, this is, you know, it's going to happen. I know I am committed to it. That I am committed to practice. That's all I say. I am committed to practice right in this moment. And usually it's not online because there's, you know, there's a lot of other things happening that getting online does not happen for very much during the day. So that's okay. You know, it's like, I'm committed to practice, though.
You're committed to practice. That sounds like the bottom line in everything that you're saying.
Right.
You're committed to practice. Conditioning can come in with all sorts of standards about what that looks like, being the first response in the email class, responding right there at right. the moment that it comes in. And you're just committed to actually doing it.
Yeah.
It tries to talk you out of it. You say, oh, okay, fine.
Right. Well, because there were so many things that it was like, practice should look this certain way, and then I was just decimated when it couldn't look that way for the last year. You know, I couldn't come on retreat. I think there were a lot, and I was like getting totally beaten up for that. You should be doing all these things that you haven't. You know, as if really, as if I'm really going to do that. and yet here's this opportunity. I'm right here. Mm-hmm. This is practice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is practice right here. Mm-hmm. You know, it just so it's. That's been really helpful, just to get that. So then it is. It's like Easter every day when you get to come and be at the monastery on Easter. So
Thank you. Krista.
So I've been looking at what I saw recently is that the all these behaviors are covering, it looks to me like they're covering one thing, and the one thing that they're covering is fear.
All these behaviors are covering fear?
Yeah. So, I mean, the behaviors are things like procrastinating. And, you know, I was thinking, like, I think I've read books about procrastinating, you know, time management, all this stuff, and no one ever said it's actually covering fear, just like fear.
I just told you to do it.
No, I don't know. They don't know. I mean, they both put me out. Maybe they know. Or maybe they were talking about that secret first, their second edition or something. Like that. But it feels quite exciting. Hmm. So I can tell stories, but it doesn't really matter. It's just that, so it's quite new. My realization about this, and anxiety is under my part of my program, which I never knew that it was for a long time. I didn't know that that's what was going on, and it's less and less all the time in the areas where I have brought consciousness to it, and so the fear seems to be consistently that I won't be enough. You know, something will happen and I won't be enough, or I won't know what to do, or, you know, something bad's going to happen. And it so keeps being so fake.
So the message that you're not going to be enough underneath the fear is what stops you, but it's you're realizing how it's so fake.
Right. So here's the, you know, skiing is one of my girls. And I had the shoulder injury, so I couldn't ski. So yesterday, no, Saturday, Friday was the first day I'd done skiing all year. And I was outside because I don't go skiing. And there was so, I procrastinated so long, I left an hour later than I was going to leave. For no reason. Other than that I was thinking around, not going. And I realized, as I was skiing, and I had all these fears, like, I'm not going to remember how. And like, I couldn't remember what to take. Like, what am I bringing when I go skiing? And I have new skis. What if I can't ski on them? And then, I can't do it anymore. you know, it's these endless things like that. So then I'm thinking, of course, I remember just fine, and of course, the seeds were fine. Everything was fine, and there was all this powder that I found. So it was really, it was like beyond what I could have ever dreamed. And there was nobody there, so it's really late, and I'm finding all this powder that no one skied on. It was unbelievable. So the contrast of the experience with all the fear I had at the time was so vast. And then this is an aside, but actually, like, I hit some new level of maturity when I got tired. I stopped and came home. Blown away. Like, oh, I'm tired. I guess I'll go. I couldn't believe it. And so it was the contrast of, like, assuming all these bad things could happen. It's so ridiculous. And then, you know, I used to have to be nervous about teaching yoga. Like what would we get in yoga class and not have something to do? Isn't that crazy? It's the same thing. You know, it's the same thing. But I still believed it, uh-huh. You know, all those years. And so now it does the same thing around writing. Mm-hmm. There's such a belief that I won't be able to do it, but I keep being able to do it. But it hooks me quite a bit more with that than athletics and teaching yoga. But what I saw, so I was talking to Sherry kind of recently, and I was just back east teaching, and I was teaching for a long time, a lot of days in a row, and it was so full on, the schedule. And I was so expansive for the whole thing. And I completely trusted myself the whole time. And then I came home, and I actually ended up not feeling well for a long time when I came home. And I was looking at, what's the difference? Like, why could I be so expansive? And then when I come home, what keeps me from being expansive? Just as expansive in my everyday life. And so I told Sherry that, and she said, it's the letting go. And I've been looking at it for a while, like, I wonder what the difference is. And she said, it's letting go. And you know how she is. You know, she just speaks like with the authority that's absolutely the truth.
Well, that's just what it is.
It's just what it is, right. And so I've been looking at that in the context of this fear thing. That always what's expansive is there's always that fear. Mm-hmm. And then I let go of that and take action on whatever it is, and there's that expansiveness. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking at.
Well, it keeps proving, you keep having experiences where you're proving that over and over again. You know, it's trying to come up with all these reasons why you can't do this or you shouldn't, or you're just like procrastinating, stinking around for no reason, thoughts about like your skis, the everything.
Right.
And then you've seen it come in with yoga and everything like that, and now it's there with writing. Mm-hmm. And so you're watching this fake fear come up, with fake reasons why you can't do what it is that you need to do or want to do, and letting go is the suggestion.
Yeah, I want to look, because there's this energy that builds up in me pretty quickly that's pretty, it's not that fun to be with. So I was thinking this morning when it was building up that it's hiding something. Mm. You know, I just don't know yet. Mm. You know, what's the fear that it's hiding? Mm. And so, that's what I'm looking at.
Looking at something behind the fear that's hiding.
Well, no, I think the energy that builds up, I mean, this is, so I told you those are my little successes of looking at this. And and so every sensation I have, then I'm just using that as a model of, okay, well, what is this sensation actually hiding? What's the fear that this is hiding? Mm-hmm. And so that I can get freedom in the areas where I'm not free. Mm-hmm.
So the way you're going to get freedom in the areas you're not free, you're thinking might be behind, looking at what's behind the sensations that are building up and the fear.
Because they're so believable with skiing. Right. Well, it's really believable when it comes to filing for me. You know, filing is,
you know,
might as well be,
super,
you know,
fast,
rocket science for me. It just shuts down the information around. Well, it becomes, it's, I don't know, yeah, it's unavailable to me. Except for sometimes I can find my way through it, and then I go quite expansive, because then, you know, it's not a mess in my office.
Uh-huh.
And but there's some kind of energy in that sensation that is really, really believable mm-hmm. when it comes to doing
filing,
say, for instance. There are a few other things in that category.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I don't know what the sensation is around filing. Maybe there's going to be some other awareness, but. But today I have a lot of writing to do, so I figure I'll get a lot of chances to look at it.
Yeah, you'll have more experiences looking at how it comes up for you with this particular piece of content.
Right. Because it's so believable. Like, I won't, every month I write a tip of the month for my newsletter. Every month it's just belief that there's no more tips. I'll just turn my attention to my body, and there'll be a tip right there.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
But the belief is pretty strong every time.
Yeah. Yep. The belief that comes up is that there are no more tips, and every time you turn your attention to your body, and there's one.
So far. So far, there keeps being something else to a new tip, but it'd be nice to not have that. Fear belief, you know, that terrified belief right before that, or that anxiety, and then procrastination. So, I mean, but maybe I could write like 3 tips ahead, and here it not be the 24th, and I have to write the tip that's coming for May,
uh-huh.
you know, and the pressure of that. But I can never write ahead because, you know, there's all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe I'll be able to write ahead. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be freedom right there. Have the tips done for the rest of 2011. That would be huge.
Uh-huh.
That's quite extreme, actually. That would be
something to work toward.
Something to work toward, yeah. Anyway.
As you practice with this. As you practice looking to see how it is that it goes from fear and procrastination to getting to a place where you actually look at your body and the tip comes through.
Right. It's not fear of procrastination. It's actually more like, the cycle seems to be more like procrastination, anxiety, and then fear. And then mm-hmm. when there's enough of a pressure, then when there's the pressure, mm-hmm. then I can overcome those things to do it.
Uh-huh.
But one of my goals, my best year goals this year, is to write before it's a quadrant one activity. So.
You will report back.
I'll report back.
Thank you. June.
Well, just sitting here today, I realized there's a story that I'm living in, that I'm telling myself. It's about, I still haven't written a love letter. I'm doing the class.
Oh, the email class, yes.
The email
love letters.
I still haven't written a love letter. I made a start this morning. God, when I say it, it's one of those things, when I say it out loud, it just sounds so ridiculous. But the mentor here doesn't say stuff like, I love you, and you're wonderful, and that kind of thing. And you can tell from how I'm saying it, the attitude that's popping around. My parents never said that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not kind of in there. There's not a kind of a thing in there that says that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Everybody, you know, I don't have a choice about reading all the emails.
You're caught up.
Yeah.
You don't have the quit, I quit
I going to say?
Well,
so many people do report. That's what they hear. Mm-hmm. And so the story is, I don't have the right mentor. It surely the mentor says something pleasant to me. It's not enough that it's just always there. It's not enough that any time I get quiet and sincere and turn my attention, it's there. It's not enough that it never leaves, that it never will leave, that it never has left. That's not enough. It's got to be something else. There's got to be some other something. And I've really been kind of stuck in a story about that, that maybe that's not the real mentor, that thing that never leaves and that always supports me. Maybe that's not really it. Yeah, well, it's really, really helpful to say all this out loud.
Yeah, you can see how it would be helpful for you to say it out loud.
Yeah, so, in the email class, Sherry has been saying fairly frequently, just don't engage. Whatever that stuff is, whatever the negative, the self-hate, the egocentric karmic conditioning is, don't engage. And I'm kind of seeing that at a more active level. There's really kind of a habit, I guess, sort of belief that just not engaging is somehow avoiding.
That not engaging with the conditioning of the voices is somehow avoiding it?
Yeah, but I'm seeing much more. I'm seeing that don't engage with that story about the mentor. Mm-hmm. Just get out of it. That's what's stopping you. It's not, you're not doing it wrong. You know?
You're not doing it wrong.
Yeah. The mentor is just fine.
The mentor is just fine.
Leave her alone. Don't make her
That's
work.
You
don't
stand up for that mentor. Your mentor's just fine. Yeah, and getting engaged with the voices and its comments about how there's got to be something more. You need to be, it needs to say this, whatever. It's just not something to be engaged with.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the mentor.
Yeah. And as usual, seeing something like this, always the question always becomes, and where else am I doing this? I'm grateful for the morning's conversation.
Thank you. So, Claire.
I too am grateful for this morning, and one thing that it did bring up for me is that a commitment, and what it brought up for me is my commitment to practice, and just having that reminder how that informs my life and my actions, and how I too get caught up in the you should be doing it this way, you should be doing it that way, and just comparing what I do to what everybody else does, and
on and on.
So, just really appreciating being here this morning and remembering that hey, that's my God, and that's the bottom line. I'm committed to practice.
The bottom line is that you're committed to practice, not the how you should be doing
not,
it.
Right. And just the kindness to this person this morning to remember that and to trust that and to trust and what was mentioned earlier, just coming back to trusting life and trusting that commitment. And I could so relate to that, I relate to the tweets. Well, I got one good tweet. I'm sure that's the last one I'll ever see. we got to look at that can 3 times a day. It's like every time it's like, oh no, I don't know.
There are no more tweets.
If
there's going to be one there for snack or not.
I may not eat tonight. It
just comes up like that every time. You know,
as if that life that animates us is somehow limited in some way. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that it just has one tweak in
it. One life.
You know, and then it's the rocking chair. It's just really amazing.
There's the square over there in the corner withering away.
No food.
It's
just pretty remarkable. It just goes on and on and on, and then every time something will come out and go, that's, you know?
Yeah.
Well, saved by the fact. And that just applies in so many areas.
Yeah, that's just, you're saying that just really is across the board. The practice, it's like the minute we let go and just are there, it's like the tweet shows up, or the lie of conditioning throws out a scene. And,
what's appropriate in the moment just arises.
Exactly.
So, anyway, once again, great to be in group.